When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with you for some fun bonus coverage here during Big Brother 25. I've got Taryn here with me. Taryn, how are you?
I'm very excited, Rob.
Okay, we got a good one. Very excited to have back with us somebody that is a huge Big Brother fan, follows the season very closely every year. Please welcome our great friend, winner of Survivor South Pacific. It's Sophie Clark. Sophie, how are you?
Woohoo! I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. This is, I feel like I'm the lucky one. I get to talk to two Big Brother experts.
Yes, or at least one Big Brother expert and one person who's at least following probably as much as you are.
Oh, I was going to ask you, Rob, like how you're doing, because I feel like with this writer's strike, like it's insane the amount of shows you have to cover.
It's a lot going on all at once. We've never had all of the shows in season, but so far we're only in the first week. So far, so good.
Yeah. Are you even watching like Buddy Games and things like that?
Oh, Buddy Games. Sophie, Buddy Games last night had its best episode by far. Buddy Games was phenomenal. We had a really fun podcast.
I accidentally saw the last second from when I was trying crazy. To tune into Big Brother.
It crazy was like Buddy Games. Girls. Yeah, the pageant ladies got into it. And I think I'm embroiled in a little bit of the drama from Twitter, but that's a whole different story.
You should have heard Rob last night before the Big Brother podcast. He was like, guys, Buddy Games was just so
Buddy Games. Buddy Games was really good.
Buddy Games is good?
The first two episodes were slow, or they were sleepy, but the third episode was real. There was a huge fight between some of the buddies, maybe not buddies so much anymore. But Sophie, enough about Buddy Games. What's been going on with you?
What's been going on with me? I had a baby about 9 months ago. I don't know if we've spoken since then. So
yes,
now I have a toddler and a 9-month-old, which is a lot.
Okay. I had not known about baby number two.
Yeah, baby number two happened. They're about 18 months apart. So the fact that my eyes have turned into black circles only is just that it explains what's happening here. But yeah, life's good. Yeah. Two kids and a lot of reality TV.
Yeah.
That's basically my life.
Okay. Sophie, your audio got a little crackly here on us. I'm hoping that ends up passing because you sounded so good a couple of moments ago.
Okay. Well, I can move. I can just start walking through my house and you can tell me where to stop.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So are you caught up on the latest from the updates from today, Sophie?
Big Brother? You mean who's HOH?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. First thing I do when I roll out of bed in the morning is read Hamster Watch.
Yes.
This is actually the first year in a long time that I haven't bought the feeds. So I'm in a weird thing where I've seen feed clips, but I actually haven't watched any of the feeds, which usually like my husband and I will watch a little bit before we go to bed just to make yourself fall asleep. So I'm only aware of Big Brother through the show and Hamster Watch and then Twitter.
Okay. Well, Taryn, you want to just give the quick update for anybody who's joining us from the podcast to see Sophie and not caught up on everything?
Yes. Well, of course we saw Cam come back in last night. He then went on to win the HOH. He had a celebratory meeting with the fugitives, Matt and Jag, and they discussed how Felicia is the target, with probably Mimi going up next to her.
Is that real? That's really what's going to happen?
It's really real at the moment. And they talked about how it's basically a done deal, because with Felicia and Mimi on the block, nobody who's capable of winning a veto will use it on Felicia. So the week is basically over, according to them. And they're already talking about who do we target next week if it's a physical HOH.
Sad. I wish Cameron wasn't a terrible human being, because I feel like rooting for Cameron this season could be fun. Like, if you genuinely liked Cameron, like, he's been on the block, he's won HOHs, like, he's been voted out. Like, he should be the one that it should be fun to root for, but I don't think I can bring myself to do it. I'm sure there are casual fans who love Cameron, right?
You know too much.
Yeah, I know too much.
Yeah.
You've looked behind the curtain.
Yeah. Sophie, so could you just talk a little bit about big picture? I'd love to get your thoughts on the season overall and how you've been feeling up to this point.
So I don't have the same like BB's like massive history that you guys have. Clearly, like, just watching Suri is a gift unto itself. Like, I kind of don't even care how the season goes. Like, that's thank you to the BB gods for letting us have that. That said, I kind of feel like this season of Big Brother, in a way that I've never seen happen on Big Brother before, is almost turning into, in some ways, like a modern Survivor season, with the whole, like, Survivor at some point went through this evolution from like strong alliances to voting blocks, where my personal opinion with Survivor is like the game has gotten too gamey and there's no real like emotions behind the plays. It's just like after every vote out, everybody looks around and says, okay, let's totally recalibrate and decide who's the biggest threat. And one thing I feel like in the beginning of this game, it wasn't quite like that, because you had the Suri, Izzy, Jared dynamic, and you had Corey in America. Like, there were real, I don't know, like, forces of power in the game. I almost feel like once Suri's game got exposed, and now that they've swapped alliances so many times, I just worry, like, nothing matters anymore. Like, it just seems like all that matters is who's a threat. Like, next random person is going to be voted out. Like, it just... Unlike last season, where it's like you're rooting for Taylor the whole time, or the cookout, you're like, you see like the way their alliance is structured and are they going to make it work? This thing, it just feels like every week they kind of mix it, like between Jag, Matt, Corey, like it's just a little mix up and then it goes. And I think what's particularly upsetting to me right now is it feels like there's a certain number of people in the house who maybe don't even have an opportunity to win, because like their game has either been like their game is too exposed. Like, there's no inroads. People like I almost worry about Suri. Like, now that she's been exposed, I don't know how she like gets herself back into a position where people trust her. Anyway, I don't know if my sentiment is a common sentiment, but I'm suddenly like very not excited about the remainder of the game. I'm struggling to see like what could be the interesting alliances that get me excited.
Yeah, I think that what you said about the similarities to like the new era of Survivor, where it's sort of like, okay, well, we get down to like the final eight and now it's just like, okay, well, who are the threats? And then just boom, 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 boom. Okay, everybody who's a threat has to go at this particular point in time, and that the alliances aren't super important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think something that we see in Big Brother a lot is that like the game only really has like a couple of good structures that it's capable of like forming. So like usually like there's the beginning structure, and then sometimes that gets blown up and there's a new structure. And then if that new structure gets blown up, maybe there's like a looser one that comes out of that. But like each structure gets weaker and weaker as time goes on. And then there's sometimes in some seasons a point where they're just like, all right, alliances, structures, that's too complicated. It's just going to come down to competitions at this point.
Yeah, it feels like a free-for-all, but it's too soon this season.
That's the problem, is that like normally I would be like closing in on the end game at this point in the season, except this time we're like barely over halfway.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, the game has lost structure. And the game never has structure because of like the insanity of Suri and Izzy. But it was like almost the non-structure was structure at the time. Like, the fact that they were in that many alliances. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I can't believe I'm just out of wind. Two flights of stairs. My parents just arrived for the weekend 2 hours early. And you don't want them on the podcast, so.
Yeah. Sophie, have you had any real-life encounters with Suri? Do you know her as a real-life person?
You know, I think I have met her a few times and like, I think I blacked it out because I was in awe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Ceri's incredible. I was actually reflecting on this before I came on the podcast because everybody says Ceri's incredible. You watch the show and you say Ceri's incredible. But if you actually look at what she's done in this game, it just seems like she's actually made really bad moves over and over and over again. And I think watching her in Big Brother has like almost made me appreciate the difference between a social game and a strategic game. Like on Survivor, I feel like, you know, in the final tribal where they're like, okay, outwit, outplay, outlast, right? There's parts of that that I'm like, I don't see the difference. I always thought that like having a good social game meant that you were strategic and you couldn't be strategic without having a good social game. I think Ceri's Big Brother game has been like the epitome of amazing social game. Like for each individual conversation, you get the sense that like Ceri could just like mold the conversation and the person into exactly what she wanted. But then she chooses to do the wrong thing with her power. Like she has, whereas Corey, I feel like every time he gets power, he chooses the right thing to do with it, but he's not as socially aware. He's not as good as like kind of accumulating the knowledge. Ceri gets all the knowledge and then like makes the wrong choice. But she's incredible. Like, have you guys loved Ceri watching this?
Yeah. I mean, I think you completely nailed it in terms of how I see Ceri. You know, coming into the season, I was trying to explain to Big Brother players. I was like, she's like God tier social player. And I was saying she's also like a God tier strategic player. I mean, she did the 3-2-1. Like she's come up with a lot of like really great strategies. I think what we've seen on Big Brother is that, you know, she's not necessarily terrible at strategy, but I think her strategy is certainly more suited to a game like Survivor. I mean, ultimately she did run the game for over 40 days, and on Survivor season would have been over twice over nowadays.
Is she too bold? Like, is she too fast? Like, did she need a con? Like, let it happen a little bit more?
I think so. Particularly the move on Hysum was very early. It was, you know, Hysum is evicted on day 23, which is less than a fourth of the way through this season. And it makes more sense if you look at it from a Survivor lens where it's like this guy, he's really dangerous. Yeah. And I only have 23, 26, however many days to take him out.
Take my shot.
Take the shot when you have it. But Big Brother, you do have to pace yourself a little more. And you know, she has 4 seasons of experience on Survivor. It's just not her speed.
Yeah. It's making me eat my words a little bit because I feel like in past Big Brother seasons, I've gotten really frustrated. I remember getting really frustrated at Nicole Franzel or at the players that I felt like never wanted to be HOH, and like their whole strategy was like, how do I not have blood on my hands? How do I kind of just slowly like maneuver my way? And I feel like Ceri probably could have learned from that a little bit versus just kind of taking shots over and over again.
Yeah. It's interesting that I feel like that Ceri, in terms of like what she's good at strategically, I feel like that she's really surgical and no pun intended. I know she works in the operating room, but I feel like that like getting like the specific vote that's happening. Okay. This is like everything that's required for ultimately for this move. But I wonder if Big Brother might be different in your opinion in terms of like the long-term planning that needs to go on for each round of Big Brother versus, okay, this is just about getting through this tribal council. This is what we need to do to ultimately send this person home.
Yeah. I don't know enough about the traitors, to be honest. Like I found the first episode really insufferable and like didn't make any sense. I'm going to try to watch it this time.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a huge difference between on Survivor, the concept of needing to have a majority, and on Big Brother, this concept of like, if you're not aligned with one person, like that could tank your game. And I wonder if that's been like a change in her strategy that she needed and didn't do.
Yeah. You know, I especially nowadays, I feel like it's almost like on Survivor, it's like if you're playing King of the Hill, like, and you get points for being in the hill. Like Survivor's like avoid being King of the Hill as long as possible and then strike right at the end. Big Brother's like fight hard as hell to get to that position. And the longer you're the king, the better, because that means that like things are going to be set up in your favor as things move forward. And the person that's in the best spot is the least likely to be targeted most of the time. And so it is, especially the current meta strategies of each show, like it's very opposite in that.
So do you think she can win? Like, this is the thing that's been depressing me recently is I saw somewhere on the feed somebody say something like Bowie and I think it was Felicia saying Bowie and Ceri like can't win the game. Like you're going to drag them to the end. I just worry with Cerie's whole alliance structure being outed, like how does she gain enough respect and power from the other players to be able to sit in the final two and have a story other than I want, you know, you should have voted me out. You never did.
I mean, I think this is where her reputation could help, especially if Corey's on the jury. I feel like Corey will be able to give her the respect that she needs. Corey is not a person that's going to be like, well, you won a bunch of comps, so I have to give it to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's expressed as much on the feeds in disagreement with people like Jared and Cam. And so Corey being on the jury, I think, is massive for her.
Could be the David Murphy, Sophie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if he has the ear of like America and it's only a second.
Edna
jury,
on my season.
So.
That was the wise.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I guess that's right. Who are you guys rooting for?
I mean, if Cerie's able to pull it out, I mean, that would be
amazing.
Mm-hmm. That would be my ideal scenario. I'm, you know, I'm very much like, especially with Big Brother nowadays, like very tired of just like, oh, the person who's winning all the comps at the end is just going to win the game, which is why it was so exciting.
I thought you were just
going to
say you retired.
That too. It could be both things. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think that Cerie, like, I'm kind of bullish about this, like, second act for Cerie in terms of, like, her being able to, now that Jared is gone, that she can say, I have nobody. Why would you waste your HOH on me? And look at me. I can't win a challenge. And I think that she's going to, like, have another bite at the apple of this thing. Not the way that we expected, like, early on. But I do think that she's somebody who I think is going to linger in the house.
Well, so I feel like this brings me to the question that I think is the reason we're all talking, which is like a week and a half ago, I tweeted at you, Tara, and asking you something. And then everybody on the internet was like, that's the dumbest question ever. Everybody's already been talking about that a week ago. I don't know if it's that relevant anymore because I'm not sure it's a great idea for her. But my question was like, should Cerie, once Jared is gone, as a way to like reintroduce herself to the game, try to like mend relationships, admit that she was Jared's mom, that Izzy knew about it, and kind of give herself a clean slate. It felt like a good idea a week or so ago where it seemed like she was pretty hopeless. But now that she's navigated herself into this kind of nobody seems to be targeting her position, I don't know if it would benefit her at all.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agreed at the time that there was so much momentum going into the double eviction against her and Jared. There just wasn't enough time for her to recover from a double eviction loss of Jared, and then the next person that wins might be putting her right back up on the block, which may have happened if that had been the case. And so coming out with something big like that to change the narrative quickly, I do think was super needed at the time. I do agree now, though, that like she's already done the work over the last week. She doesn't really need to anymore. It still can be something that she can keep in her back pocket if she needs to really cement a bond with somebody later on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The big secret.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like part of the Izzy bond is like everybody, my take on Izzy was like, I think Izzy's like a co-conspirator kind of person. Like she's excitable. And this idea that she was not only playing Big Brother, but she was like guarding the street, like family secret, I think is really fun. I don't know who would be as energized to find that out. I feel like it would probably, I mean, Blue is already there, but like, I have this idea of like, I don't know, Nicole and Cerie or like somebody getting really energized about it and like it turning them into like a secret alliance that mm-hmm. can actually do something versus just dodge, you know, Jared, Matt, and Jag for a while.
Sophie, so I know it's not exactly the same, but you two got to play with the relative of an iconic Survivor player. But you all had figured out that Brandon was Russell's nephew, right? At the time, and did it change anything when he came clean about it?
So now this is like 10 years ago, but yes. I don't think I knew until Brandon told me. Watching the show back, I think it made it look like Coach maybe knew or had figured out. So I don't think, I'm trying to remember if Coach told me. I definitely if they gave me credit for this was wrong. Like I definitely on my own was not like, that's Brandon Hanson's nephew. That said, I remember sitting on the sand when he told us, and I don't remember it instilling trust. I don't remember being like, oh, I want to work with this person more now. Like it definitely made me very wary of him at the time because he was giving off this whole, like, I'm a young father. I was in a gang. I'm now reformed. Like,
right.
there was almost like a poor pity Brandon, but with this view of, oh, you're Russell Hanson, like this must all be bullshit.
Right.
So I actually think, yeah, like probably Brandon in retrospect could have used that knowledge way better, right? If he had told one person versus telling the whole tribe.
A rare faux pas for Brandon.
Yeah, a rare faux pas. Exactly. I mean, like, look at Corey. Corey's secret was the dumbest secret of all time, but it did seem to do something for him for some brief moment with America. Mm-hmm. Seems like any secret, right, can really... I don't know if Felicia has gained anything on the Denzel secret.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Do you think Blue knows? Blue knows, right? Did Blue always know?
I think she initially thought it was Felicia and then kind of quickly realized, oh, that doesn't make sense. It has to be Ceri.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a brief period of time where she thought it was Felicia, which is very funny.
Isn't there now speculation, though, that maybe Blue thinks Ceri a cousin and not even a mother? Or do we think Blue just knows?
I mean, I would be surprised if she doesn't know. But, yeah. You know, who knows?
It's
she
just
won't
wild to me
it.
That we could be watching someone 24/7 on the feeds who's playing like a national game, who's been told straight out that Ceri or, you know, that Jared has a mother who seems to have done nothing with this information and has barely talked about it. You think just once she could look at the camera and be like, yes, I know Ceri is his mom. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, I don't understand Blue as a person that this seems to have been like barely influenced her.
You're not the only one. Yeah.
That said, I saw that Blue's apparently doing a lot better. Is that right? Like, we should be on the Blue train.
Especially like detaching yourself from Jared, she's really started to play sort of her own game. And she's going in the right directions. I think that like she's still kind of learning on the fly, like what she should and shouldn't be doing. But, you know, she has a ways to go, but definitely way more on track than
See,
she was before.
I feel like that Blue is good at like sewering people and like taking like making other
mean?
People, like making other people like taking them down. But I don't know if she's necessarily mm-hmm. good at like putting herself into good positions. Like she's good at like, yeah. okay, she's like, she can tank Corey in America, but I don't know if she's
yeah, she's doing that well. When she gets like her diary room persona pissed thing on.
Yeah. But I don't know if she's good at like making, like setting up a structure that's like inherently good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Do you guys want to see more survivors on Big Brother after this season?
Well, the multiverse has been opened. And I feel like that really between this and the traitors and the challenge, like there's so much like crossing of the streams. But I really do feel like that, you know, bringing Ceri into this like created a lot of energy. And I just like anecdotally in terms of like the viewers, like I had a lot of people like reaching out and telling me, hey, like I've never watched Big Brother before or I haven't watched Big Brother in a long time. And having Ceri involved like really got people interested in this season.
Yeah,
I mean, Sophie Clark, next season of Big Brother.
Yeah, I just want it to be longer, you know, 100
it's
days.
Not, it's not long enough.
Not long enough, yeah.
It just doesn't feel like a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Now, look, Big Brother is long. I feel like that they could never get you in the Big Brother house, correct?
Oh, I would love to play Big Brother if somebody could just like pause the world.
Pause
and
the world.
Walk into the house.
Yeah.
Like if there's another pandemic and all jobs shut down and mm-hmm. the options are sit in your house or go into Big Brother, like I think I could even get over the hump of being on the live feeds 24/7. Like that sounds terrible, but I think I could get over that. It's the like just the sheer time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now we got a question. Carlotta wants to know, Sophie, would you do The Traitors? I know you said you didn't like the first episode of The Traitors, but that's like 10 days.
Oh, I do The Traitors. Yeah. The thing I didn't understand, and sorry, this might not be the place to ask you, Rob, I can text you, but like, it just didn't seem like the game mechanics made any sense. It was like they were playing this challenge, but for no reason.
Yeah, it's not a great game. And I think that the challenge, certainly, like, my theory was like that they should make it like you get like a clue to the who the traitors are if you complete the challenge. So the traitors would be like incentivized, like the mole, to sort of like make you not succeed in the mission. But,
right, exactly.
Know, yeah, the game mechanics.
There was that other show that had the same problem last year, the one that Stephanie LaGrossa was on as well.
Oh, Snake in the Grass?
Yeah, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it might be the similar producers on that. But what did you think about, you know, we've got Parvati and Sandra both out there on The Traitors.
I wonder how much they got paid. I'm excited. I mean, the problem is, what's weird to me about the Traitors cast is it seems like they've gone for like, let's get a little bit of everything, make everybody happy, you know, get the like people who like Survivor, people like Housewives, people who like, I don't know, British parliamentarians or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
That large fan base. But for me, I feel like it has this weird thing where I'm excited to see Sander and Parvati, but I don't know half these other people. So it kind of makes me like, I think I prefer the Challenge USA approach where I knew everybody. It was all CBS. It was all the same kind of world. I think, I can't even remember the vendor's language, but I feel like they've got a step too far. Like there should be some stage before this is, there's like a multiverse and then there's like a quantum verse or something. Mm-hmm. And I think the Traitors has gone like too far. It's too out there. Diverse.
Yeah.
I just hope that Sandra and Parvati like actually fight. Right. I think that's what everybody's kind of hoping for, you know? And sometimes in these shows, it's like, oh, we're all just going to like kind of go back into our like show alliance. Like what's happened on the Challenge. We're like all survivors align. I think it'd be fun to like actually see them go at it.
Yeah. I think that's going to be what everybody is hoping to see happen, because it's just such like an out of nowhere like feud to pop up like from social media. And then I have no idea if they've ever like squashed the beef or if they talked beforehand. So I guess we'll get to see it a little bit play out in real time.
I think I like both Sandra and Parvati, but I think Sandra, like you have to be careful with Sandra online, because I once got into a feud with Sandra online totally unintentionally. Like, I think Sandra's a little, like, kind of quick to the trigger. Like, honestly, I'm probably in a feud with Sandra now after this.
Was this about the tiara? In my mind, I think I thought that this was Sari that said something about Sandra's tiara. But it was you, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was, like, my first season was pretty close to Heroes versus Villains. I think I just won. And in some random interview question, somebody asked me something about, oh, this must mean you're, like, a great survivor. And I made some offhand comment around like, oh yeah, Sandra better give me her tiara. Clearly, I am like one of the worst female winners of all time. Clearly, I do not think I can win, you know, take Sandra's tiara. But she was pissed.
Yeah.
Like really, really.
Yeah, you got to watch
her tiara. Either that or she's playing on another level of like feuding for casting kind of stuff.
There was a couple of years where she wasn't talking to me also over something like very benign of like.
Also a tiara?
Yeah, no, it was, I think, something on Game Changers. And I had asked like Johnny Fairplay a question of like, do you think Sandra is a game changer? But, you know, it was just like a question that I was asking him to get him like worked up. Like it wasn't supposed to be like she said no, but I asked the question and hopefully I think
instigator.
I just like to publicly state that I disown both of you. I am pro Sandra.
She is a game changer. Let the record show. Okay. She changed the game. She changed the game in a lot of
ways.
She
deserves a crown.
Yeah,
not
of course
a tiara.
She's a game changer. Yeah.
Rob, do you have ongoing feuds? Like, who are your top five
feuds right now? I'm trying to think. A lot of the times the feuds are like sort of one-sided where a person is mad at me about what I said. And I'm trying to think of maybe the chat.
Wasn't Tony mad at you or was he mad
at
you?
Tony was mad at Steven. He got mad at Steven because he said that Tony had poop-covered spectacles and couldn't see. Because we said at the final nine of Survivor Kagyan that it wasn't a good move to vote out LJ. And then he claimed that his phone got hacked at a sleepover with some friends.
Sleepover, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of...
Has like, Buddy Games entered into the feud territory?
Mike White is going... Right. Yeah, Buddy Games might be, like... Honestly, like I feel like
you versus Buddy.
Yeah, I have to be careful now. So because I feel like that back in the day, if I had a feud with a Survivor contestant, like the fans would take my side. But I feel like if I had a feud with a Survivor contestant, and they went on Twitter and was like, Rob is an a-hole. Like it would basically everybody would just pile on like, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Drag him. It's over. So, yeah, I got to be a little bit more careful these days.
You've accumulated too many enemies.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Can we talk a little bit about the Survivor premiere, Sophie? I would love to get your thoughts on what you thought about the return of Survivor this week.
Really happy that it's 90 minutes. More Survivor is better. I am not as pissed about the quitting thing. Like, I just think people are over the top. To me, this is part of, like, the game would not, Survivor would not be good if nobody quit. Like, I think it kind of proves how hard the game is. So there's a lot of reasons why I don't care. One is, this girl didn't get cast intending to quit. Like, she probably now wishes she hadn't quit. Like, this was not her purpose.
I think
she
was fine
thing.
With the decision in talking to her the other day, but I mean, she didn't like the backlash.
Yeah. And she probably, like, in the moment, she was struggling. So I feel bad for her in the backlash. I kind of like, part of my issue with the new season, the era of Survivor, and I'm sure many people have said this, is like, I feel like it's the casting, while very diverse, is very monotonous when it comes to approaches to the game. It's people who are obsessed with Survivor and like all want to play hard in game. And so every time we see like any diversity, I want to see people who are bad at the game. Like, I want to see villains. I want to see people who are bad at the game. I want to see people who are really emotional in the game. And I feel like it's the diversity in how people approach the game has been lost in Survivor. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about this was, like, at least that was some diversity. Like, watching it was fun watching the show and being like, oh my God, I can't believe this girl has such a different emotional reaction to Survivor that she will leave. Like, that's interesting.
I agree with you, Sophie. I just wish there was a different word that, like, because I think that, like, people hear, like, okay, like, I wish there was, like, a, you know, more diversity in this one, and people jump right to, because I think the Survivor has done a great job with the race and sexuality of all the different contestants, but like more like variance in like approaches to the game in terms of, because we really don't get that. Like, back when, like, once upon a time, you know, that there was more casting of, like, not necessarily like recruits, but like, okay, this is an interesting person. And I think that recruits gets a bad name because it's like hot people of like, okay, let's just go on Instagram. Okay, this person has a six pack. Let's put them on the show. But like, you, they would like, find people that's like, okay, this is like some very like off the wall people that you might necessarily put into the show, and you still get your Carolyns, and but they do have to have like a baseline of like, I am a like 100% obsessed Survivor fan.
Yeah, I mean, no offense, Rob. I think that one of the rules of people going on Survivor is like, you should have not listened to 100 hours of Rob has a podcast.
How
because
dare you?
If everybody's listening to Rob has podcast. They're all having the same, eventually coming to the same conclusions around like, what is good Survivor play? And I agree with you. Like, I think nobody wants people recruited just because they have a six pack. But I would like if casting found somebody who never had seen Survivor in their life before, and it's not their lifelong dream, that has this fascinating kind of moral system about what they think is right and wrong and what they're willing to do and not. Like, I would love to see that on the screen. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I'm totally okay with her quitting. I'm just happy it's somebody who's, it's not their lifelong dream enough that they're willing, they're willing to quit. I mean, this is different if this was like Simone Biles quits the U.S. gymnastics team and like there's a, she took a spot from somebody, but it's not a sport, it's a game show. And also, how is everybody pissed? Like, aren't we happy that Emily and Brandon
That's how
survived?
I looked at
like, that's
it.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was always happy.
See, I've always been of the opinion that, because it's the same thing with Big Brother when people are asking to be voted out. I think that just kick them out. If they ask to be voted out, kick them out and then have the vote anyway. I think that, like, if that had happened, people would be like, okay, we still got our vote. We still got our taste of blood. Like, the episode doesn't end on somebody just quitting and we get no strategic vote. Like, that's more
interesting. You want to have a zombie resurrection week on Survivor? Like,
I just like, listen, you can take a day off on Survivor and edit it out. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Why do former Survivors get so worked up about this? Like, it just seems to trigger people.
Yep. Look, it's like that, back in my day, I would have never quit. Chance for, people who are, egomaniacs to talk about themselves. So I think that's...
I mean, I will admit, like fully. My first season, both seasons of Survivor, I many times thought this would be so nice to quit right now. Like the same emotions that she had around, I just want to sleep in the night. Like, I just think people are criticizing her quitting to the degree that they're, I think, also even like undermining the emotions that surrounded it, which is crazy. Like 50% of people who play Survivor think about quitting, mm-hmm. at least in my experience in my seasons. Like, think about how nice would it be to leave? Like, maybe I think if it was not a broadcast television show, more people would quit. Like, it's insane to act like she's so abnormal in that desire.
Mm-hmm. Sophie, could you talk a little bit about Emily and what you thought about her? Because I thought that she was also such great casting. I love that she's on the show, and I would love to hear your thoughts on her.
Yeah. I was thinking about her the other day because I was listening to the Lesser podcast, the official podcast with Rick Devens on it.
On fire.
The number two Survivor podcast. And he had like a completely different take than I had. He was, I don't know, I was listening to it while I was walking, but
he was a little worked up against the quitters.
I don't know if I got that far, but he was, he was worked up. I disagreed with the quitter, and then I disagreed with him because he talked about how Emily, I think he was interpreting Emily's attitude as like she came to play and they all showed up at the marooning and Emily was just ready to go and everybody else was like still in a daze from Ponderosa. That wasn't my interpretation at all. Like, Emily to me is exactly the kind of person I want to see cast. I don't think it was about her being more or less ready to play. For me, it was about like her unable to hold her tongue. Like, she's, to me, that's like the best Survivor player is they know they shouldn't and yet they can't help themselves be themselves. And that's the funny thing too is she's even self-aware about it. Like, she knows that she's screwing herself and she can't help but to be negative. So I'm in love with her as a cast.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, you are, I feel like similarly, like a very like strong personality, but I feel like that you like picked your spots like, and more like in the confessional to be that way, as opposed to say like somebody like a Christine Shields Markoski from your season, who when coach shows up and gets off the helicopter, you know, she's like, oh, temporary player, he can't stay. And that really completely derailed her whole game. Because she like publicly said a thing in front of everybody.
Yeah. I had major flashbacks to Christine when I saw this with Evan. Like, don't do it. I kind of think, though, in the new era of Survivor, I kind of think with her surviving this vote, I actually think her being so vocal and so like, I almost think that there's something that benefits you when people feel like they can read you quickly. And I think of all the people on the season right now, I think one of the ways to get power on Survivor is to let other people think they have power over you. And one of the ways you can make other people think they have power over you is make them think that they really understand you as a human. So I actually think Emily, what she did this episode put her at massive risk. But I kind of think now that she's survived this, everybody kind of feels like they get Emily. Yeah. Like, they think that she can't help herself, that she's negative, you know, she's going to put her foot in her mouth. And I actually think that gives her power because it doesn't make people question, you know, oh, who is Emily? What is Emily going to do? They're like, oh yeah, Emily's going to tell me when she hates me. Like, she's going to say it.
Yes.
So I actually think she might be in a good position now.
Yeah, that's a really good observation. Something that I hadn't thought about, because I had, you know, talked about this in terms of like last season with like Carolyn and Jam Jam. And really, I felt like that their authenticity really made people feel like, okay, this might be a little bit of like a wacky personality, but at least, okay, I get them. They're not hiding a dagger behind their back. And so, that's very interesting about how Emily, okay, I know what she is, and maybe I'm more worried about this other person that, I don't know, is Sean really the person that he says he is? Is he really, can I really trust him? Because he's friendly with me, but he's friendly with everybody.
And you can kind of work around it in the game. I felt like this when I played with Coach, where I was like, I know what Coach is. Like, I know that he wants to be honest and loyal. I know that if I don't betray him, he won't be able to betray me because this is the way, you know, this is the way he plays. I even felt like in Winners at War, there was a period of time where Jeremy and I kind of got nasty with each other. And I remember at the time not quite being able to articulate it, but telling the producers that I actually thought it was a good thing, that like having some kind of open enemy and open animosity, let that be people's focus.
Yeah.
And it also makes people feel a little bit more relaxed, be like, oh yeah, well, Sophie and Jeremy are going at it. Like, not everybody loves Sophie. Not everybody loves Jeremy. There's like a benefit to being, to having very like visible flaws and visible enemies.
Don't tell that to Zach Wurtenberger, though.
Yeah. Well, Taryn, you've talked about this for a long time with Big Brother.
Yes. I think especially with Big Brother, like it's what you're talking about. It's the known quantity. Knowing that this person is going to be against this person. It's actually what's happening with Blue and Corey right now, where just last night they were talking about, well, maybe we want to keep both Blue and Corey in the game.
Because they're going after each other.
We know that they're not going to work together. And that is the known quantity. The only issue comes in if the known quantity is against you, then you know that there's like a big block in your way that needs to be removed. Yeah. Or like if you're the person who's trying to be a known quantity, if the person that you're against or the feud you have or whatever the case may be is also a block to whoever's plans. Like if they wanted Blue to be their final two goat, then Corey being so anti-Blue isn't that helpful for them. They might want to get rid of him. So you do have to make sure you're picking your spots. And obviously in somebody like Emily's case, it's just like, she just kind of has to hope that her spot is the right one. Because otherwise...
I also think it's risky on a tribe of six.
Yes.
Like, you can kind of like dick around with that in a tribe of 10, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sophie, what do you think about Sifu, who is coming out and like trying to be sort of a new era version
the
of
coach?
Tony? Yeah, Coach and Tony.
Oh, Tony.
Coach and Tony combined. Yeah,
he's a conglomerate. I'm good with it. Like I like it. There's part of me that feels like, oh, is it is it derivative? Like, is he just kind of seeing past things? I think what I like most about it is the reason it doesn't bother me is that he got caught. Like, I like that he's trying to be that, but yet can't, you know, like, I think if he hadn't gotten caught and like, here's another, you know, kind of energetic, short-ish dude with muscles in a spy shack, like that wouldn't be as fun. But I like this idea that maybe he's going to be like endlessly trying to emulate past survivors, but just kind of stumbling. Like that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the way he like jumped through the trees, like stepping on each, like he's like a huge nerd out there, just like having fun. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there anybody else that stood out to you from the premiere?
In a positive way.
Or negative.
let's see. God, not many people. I liked Emily. I mean, I don't like Emily. I'm happy to have Emily on my TV screen.
Sure.
Brandon. Is his name Brandon or Braven?
It's Brandon. With Brandon. The long hair. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like Brandon. I think he's the kind of person that I have my guard up against right now to not like, just because of my like vendetta about these super fans being casted. But I think he fell into
what
almost
is
like
that stem
authentic...
from playing with Cochran?
Yeah, exactly. Deep trauma. No, it stems from like nobody being able to be as authentic as Cochran was. Like, it's just all these Cochran wannabes. But I feel like Brandon, there was some authenticity to his super fandom. Like the line where he was like, I'm having, you know, reflux. I'm going to have to play my shot in the dark. Like he clearly is falling apart in a way that's authentic. So I like that. You know, Rob, I was just realizing, I don't think we have enough time right now, but sorry, I'm a little ADHD right now. I feel like you tweeted the other day saying, does anybody have any idea for Survivor podcast? You tweet that?
Yeah, I was looking for a podcast. Do you have an idea, Sophie?
Well, I just had an idea just now because I've had, when I postpartum this time, I was like, I'm not going to get any nannies. They're too expensive. I'm not going to get any night help. I'm just going to get a massage every week. And it's going to be, I'm going to get more pleasure out of a massage than whatever. So I got massages every week. And sometimes at the massage, I would just spend the hour and I would like try to think of the Survivor twists as like an activity.
Did you write them down?
And I wrote them down and I put together this like theme for an entire season.
Yes.
I want to pitch it.
Okay.
So I feel like you should do a Survivor podcast, maybe like a Shark Tank, where people can come and pitch Survivor twists, and you could have a panel of people who say what's good, what's bad, you know, what would be.
Do you want to pitch your theme now, or do you feel like that you wouldn't be able to do it justice?
I don't know if I'd be able to do it justice. Okay. I mean, I could give you like some hints.
Yeah. Well, and should it be like that? It's all like the, like Survivor, like icons, like come in with like their pitch for a Survivor season. That's not just like, okay, the super fan, aspiring super fans.
I think you need some icons. I think you need people who have been a part of some of the greatest twists of all time. Like you need Zoom Daily in there. You know, you need Yule maybe. Was he one of the first Idol people?
I mean, I think he had the second Idol, but it was, you know, big deal.
Yeah. I think you should have it should be a real Shark Tank thing. Yeah, that would be my suggestion.
All right. Well, we would love that. We could record it all ahead of time of like you giving the pitch. So I love this idea.
Yeah.
Would it be like the auction for the panelists where they have a set amount of like money to bid on each idea?
Ooh. I like that.
And they have to compete for the various ideas.
Yeah. So maybe could we get Mike White on the panel where then he can tell Jeff these ideas?
Mm. Do you think Jeff's giving Rick Devens the podcast was an apology for not letting him be the bartender or whatever?
It might have been a makeup call.
Yeah. Seemed like that. Like a consolation prize.
Yeah. Might have been. Yeah. Well, Sophie, thank you for making some time to talk about all this stuff. I got so many nice comments in the chat. Here's from Carlotta, who says, Sophie is such a queen. I need her on my TV and on RHAP. Isaac said, Sophie is my favorite guest. I could listen to her indefinitely.
Thank you, Isaac. Isaac has such a nice headshot.
Yes.
I'm going to get a headshot like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel a little bit like... it's like you guys are like professors of BB history and I'm in the 101 course and you're like, come and tell us about BB. Like, it's very intimidating talking to you guys about Big Brother. But I just also want to say thank you to Taryn because your coverage is incredible. I don't love Big Brother, but I love reading about Big Brother on a daily basis and staying up to date on Big Brother. And I listen to your podcast all the time. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm such a fan of you. So it's very wonderful to get you to talk with us and talk about, you know, my area, Big Brother, your area, Survivor. It's a fun time.
Yeah. And thanks, Rob, for being in the room.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah, look, I'm just happy to be a fly on the wall. But Sophie, thank you. I know you're super busy with the babies and everything and work. So thank you for making some time to, talk and catch up on all these shows.
Thanks for having me, guys. Fingers crossed for Cherie.
Okay. Keep your fingers crossed.
I'll unite the Apolu tribe to give her some, you know, prayers.
Please. Yes, please do. Prayer circle. All right. All right. So, Sophie, thank you so much. Do you want to plug anything? Tell people to follow you?
No.
You find Sophie if you know where to find her if you want.
Yeah, I'm around.
Okay. All right, Sophie, thanks for making time. Taryn and I are going to be jumping into another podcast, the Patron Q&A, coming up right after this. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you so much. Check out everything else we've got going on over at robhasawebsite.com. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.